Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm your host, Sandra McDevitt. Today on Stories from the Heart, an abbreviated description of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, body and soul, into heaven by the power of God through the visions of the mystic Anne Catherine Emmerich. Though the Church considers this private revelation, not binding on Catholics, it is still a very moving and inspirational account. Join us for this meditation on another Stories from the Heart. Is an abbreviated account of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary as seen by the visionary Anne Catherine Emmerich. She spent the later years of her life as an invalid and was sustained for long periods of time on water and the Holy Eucharist. Her visions were recorded at the behest of her spiritual advisors. Please note the following account is considered private revelation. A short time before the Blessed Virgin's death, as she felt the approach of her reunion with God, her Son and Redeemer, she prayed that there might be fulfilled what Jesus had promised to her in the house of Lazarus at Bethany on the day before his ascension. Jesus told her in general what spiritual works she was yet to accomplish before her end on earth. He told her, too, that in answer to her prayers, the apostles and several disciples would be present at her death, and what she would say to them, and how she was to bless them. After the Blessed Virgin had prayed that the apostles should come to her, I saw a calling going forth to them in many different parts of the world. Peter and Matthias were in the region of Antioch. Andrew came from Jerusalem and met Thaddeus on the way. James the Greater came from Spain. Judas Thaddeus and Simon from Persia. John came from Jericho, Bartholomew from Asia, and Anne could not recall where James the Less was from, and of course, Thomas did not arrive in time. Towards the evening, the Blessed Virgin realized her end was approaching, and therefore signified her desire, in accordance with Jesus' will, to bless and say farewell to the apostles, disciples, and women who were present. The Blessed Virgin, after praying, blessed each one by laying her crossed hands on their foreheads. An altar was set up, and the apostles vested themselves for Mass in their long white robes. Five of them who assisted in offering the holy sacrifice of the Mass put on the big, rich, priestly vestments. When Peter had performed the act of consecration, had received the body of our Lord, and had given communion to the apostles and disciples, he brought Our Lady the Blessed Sacrament and administered extreme unction to her. The apostles accompanied him in solemn procession. Thaddeus went first with a smoking censer. Peter bore the Blessed Sacrament, and in the cruciform vessel, John followed him carrying a dish on which rested the chalice of the precious blood. The Blessed Virgin lay in her pillow, pale and still. Her gaze was directed intently upwards, and she said no word to anyone and seemed to be in a state of perpetual ecstasy. Peter approached her and gave her extreme unction, much in the way it is administered now. He anointed her with holy oil on her face, hands, feet, and side. While this was being done, the apostles were praying as if in choir. Peter then gave her Holy Communion. As she received the Blessed Sacrament, I saw a radiance pass into Mary, who fell back as though in ecstasy, and spoke no more. The apostles returned to the altar in the front of the house in solemn procession with the sacred vessels and continued with the Mass. Afterwards, I saw the apostles and disciples once more standing by the Blessed Virgin's bed and praying. Mary's face was radiant as in her youth. Her eyes were raised toward heaven. Then I saw a wonderfully moving vision. The ceiling of Our Lady's room disappeared, the lamps hanging in the open air, and I saw through the sky into the heavenly Jerusalem. Two radiant clouds sank down, on which appeared the faces of many angels. Between these clouds, a path of light poured down upon Mary, and I saw a shining mountain leading up from her into the heavenly Jerusalem. She stretched out her arms towards it in infinite longing. I saw her body all wrapped up rise so high above her couch that one could see her right under it. I saw her soul leave her body like a little figure of infinitely pure light, soaring with outstretched arms up the shining mountain to heaven. Two angel choirs in the clouds met beneath her soul and separated it from her body, which, in the moment of separation, sank back onto the couch with arms crossed on her breast. I then saw many souls coming forward to meet her in joy and reverence. Amongst them, I recognized many patriarchs, as well as Joachim and Anna, Joseph, Elizabeth, Zacharias, and John the Baptist. She then went to the throne of God and of her Son. He received her with his divine love and placed in her hands a scepter with a gesture towards the earth, as though indicating the power which he gave her. Some of the apostles, Peter and John, for example, must have seen this too, for their faces were raised to heaven while others were knelt. Most of them bowed down low to the earth. Everywhere was light and radiance, as at our Lord's ascension. To my great joy, I saw that Mary's soul, as it entered heaven, was followed by a great number of souls released from purgatory. And again, on the anniversary, I saw many poor souls entering heaven, amongst them some I knew. I was given the comforting assurance that every year, on the day of Our Lady's death, many souls of those who venerated her received this reward. Then I saw a number of women, among whom I remember a daughter Veronica and the mother of John Mark, coming to prepare the body for burial. They brought with them cloths as well as spices to embalm the body, after the Jewish fashion. They all carried little pots of fresh herbs. The house was closed and they worked by lamplight. The apostles are praying in the front part of the house as though they were in choir. The women took the Blessed Virgin's body from her deathbed in its wrappings and laid it in a long basket. Two women then held a broad cloth stretched above the body, while two others removed the head covering and wrappings under this cloth, leaving the body clothed only in the long woolen robe. They cut off the Blessed Virgin's beautiful locks of hair to be kept in remembrance of her. Then I saw that these two women washed the holy body with sponges. They carried out their task with great respect. A fifth woman wrung out the sponges in a bowl and then dipped them into fresh water. Three times I saw the basin emptied into a hollow outside the house and fresh water being brought. The holy body was dressed in a new robe. John then carried a vessel with ointment, and Peter, dipping the finger of his right hand into it, anointed the breast, hands, and feet of the Blessed Virgin, praying as he did so. This was not extreme unction. She had received that while she was still alive. He touched her hands and feet with ointment, marking the forehead with the sign of the cross. I think this was done as a mark of respect for the holy body, as at the burial of our Lord. After the apostles had gone away, the women continued their preparations of body for burial. They laid bunches of myrrh on her body. Then they wrapped the holy body in a great grave cloth and wound it round with a band fastened under one arm so that it looked like a child in swaddling clothes. A transparent handkerchief was folded back from the face, which shone white between the bunches of herbs. They placed the holy body in the coffin which stood near. On the breast was laid a wreath of white, red, and sky blue flowers as a token of virginity. The apostles, disciples, and all others present then came in to see the beloved face once more before it was covered up. They knelt quietly, shedding many tears round the Blessed Virgin's body, touching Mary's hands, wrapped up on her breast in farewell, and then went away. The holy women, after making their farewells, covered the holy face and placed the lid on the coffin, which they fastened round with gray bands at each end and in the middle. Then I saw the coffin lifted and carried out of the house on the shoulders of Peter and John to the burial chamber. Here they laid down the holy body in the burial chamber in the rock and laid it in the place hollowed out for it. Those present in one by one laid spices and flowers beside the body, kneeling down and offering up their prayers and tears. They dug a trench before the narrow entrance of the rock tomb and planted it in a hedge of various shrubs brought there with their roots from elsewhere. Some had leaves and some blossoms and some berries. They made water from a nearby spring flow in front of the hedge so that no trace of the entrance to the tomb could be seen and none could enter the cave without forcing a way behind the hedge. Now then I saw the apostles and the holy women praying and singing in the little garden in front of the rock tomb. A broad shaft of light came down from heaven to the rock, and I saw descending in a triple ring glory of angels and the appearance of our Lord and of the shining soul of Mary. The appearance of our Lord moved down in front of her soul. Round the soul of Mary in the innermost circle of the glory, I saw little figures of children. I saw a shining path opened and leading up to the heavenly Jerusalem. Then I saw the soul of the Blessed Virgin, which had been following the appearance of our Lord, pass in front of him and float down into the tomb. Soon afterwards, I saw her soul, united to her transfigured body, rising out of the tomb, far brighter and clearer, and ascending into the heavenly Jerusalem with our Lord and with the whole glory. Thereupon, all the radiance faded again, and the quiet starry sky covered the land. When Thomas arrived, he begged to be taken to her tomb. When the light of the torches shone in the coffin, they saw with awe and amazement the grave cloths lying before them and wrapped around as before. The transfigured body of Mary was no longer on earth. They gazed up in astonishment, raising their arms as though the holy body had only then vanished from among them. And John called out to those outside the cave, "Come and see and wonder. She is no longer here." The Feast of the Assumption of Mary, Body and Soul into Heaven, was celebrated on August 15th for hundreds of years. In 1950, this belief became a dogma of the Church, binding on all Catholics. Thank you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's meditation on the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Body and Soul into Heaven through the Power of God, was taken from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich and published in Catholic Quote magazine. For a copy of this or any of my stories, email sandra@avemariaradio.net. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to avemariaradio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the Ave Maria Radio audio archives. For 2 years, we've recorded nearly every show from Ave Maria.